Throw in here, I was just meeting before this session with a group interested in MCH, and we couldn't help but notice that on the maternity mortality ratio, the United States is at least 30 countries back. We have a worse maternal mortality ratio than countries like Malta, Croatia, Slovenia. Just a thought that some of these innovations may be some things we should think about. Dr. Betty Gabrion is a public health nurse anthropologist working in Haiti. She received the Gordon Wyon Award from the International Health Section in 2008, and I'm proud to say received the Global Health Best Practices Award for her contribution to MCH lifelong. And it's my pleasure to introduce my friend and longtime fellow fighter of the cause, Betty Gabrion.
Good morning. For those of you who heard me yesterday, this is an additional information from the talk on traditional birth attendance. And I want to start by saying thank you for your thoughts and prayers and good wishes to the people of Haiti who have suffered enormously since January 12th with the earthquake, now the new cholera epidemic, where cholera did not exist in the country, and just last week, a hurricane that's destroyed the crops and many houses. So onward we go to our uphill battle to save the lives of mothers and children. Thank you to Dr. Judy Lewis and the others who work tirelessly for the work in Haiti. And this is the overview. I'm not going to read the slides, so I'll be talking about things that are in the slides or explaining a little bit more. Haiti, you've seen on CNN, if you watch CNN. It is extremely fragile and becoming more fragile every day. I really appreciate Dr. Wang's comments about sub-Saharan Africa, since Haiti should never be compared with any country in the Western Hemisphere, but matches sub-Saharan Africa in its health statistics. The maternal mortality rate has worsened in the last 5 years from 540 to 680. Most deliveries are at home. Delivered with traditional birth attendants, contraceptive prevalence is low. There are very few providers in hospitals, and many providers died in the earthquake. There is a rampant shortage of physicians and materials, so if there are any obstetricians out there and nurse midwives, come on down. When the earthquake struck in that Port-au-Prince, Carrefour area, the area where we work is that tip of the island off to the left. It is a 12-hour boat ride or truck ride. People walked with their dead from Port-au-Prince after the earthquake. About 100,000 people came to this area, and we were ill-equipped to deal with it. We were there on the wharf to receive people 8,000 at a time, bringing all the pregnant women or women in labor or women with newborns into immediate care with supportive breastfeeding and care that they needed urgently. The Haitian Health Foundation, I am proud to say, has been in this area on the invitation of the people there for the last 24 years. We started with 28,000 people, have grown to well over 200,000. It is a family registration-based program, and the children that were born in 1988 and registered then are now the women who are giving birth. So we have a wonderful long-term and usable field-based way to keep track of people and make, at the same time, public health concrete. We have rural village rally posts, they're called, poste de rassemblement. And we also are very proud that we have an institutionalized feedback strategy for all that we do to the mothers clubs, fathers clubs, youth groups, and now evacuation committees. We work in 4 counties, the furthest being a 14-hour walk from town. People work extraordinarily hard, and most of our villages are not accessible by road. We work in a balance of relief and development. You can't do one without the other, especially in Haiti, depending on the situation. Nutrition, house building, family sponsorship, nutrition education, growth monitoring, maternal and newborn care, HIV, are just a few of the things that we do. We built, because of the number of women that were dying on the way down from their villages, HHF raised money privately and built Haiti's first maternal waiting home about 5 minutes from the hospital. We believe in supporting the work of the government rather than taking it over. It's a long and difficult haul. The Center of Hope opened in 2002, and since then we've had now, even since this was done, about 1,500 women that have stayed there. We didn't know what we would find, and we're constantly learning and adapting what we're doing. We have lost women, we're sorry to say, of things like embolus and preeclampsia, postpartum eclampsia as well. But we were bringing in women who were most at risk. HIV mixed in with heart disease, diabetes, multiple pregnancies, very low, severe anemia, etc. USAID funded us for a child survival program between 2004 and 2009, of which Dr. Gretchen and Warren Bergren were important key parts of the beginning of this program. COMBIT stands for the words Communities Organized for Mothers and Babies with Innovation and Technology. It was a very positive partnership with the government and the Canadian Sisters of the Good Shepherd. What we did was we took things we did well, like breastfeeding, and moved along together with our partners to new innovations, including expanding danger sign recognition to postpartum and newborn, maternal mortality reviews, which I will talk a little bit about, emergency evacuation committees and village-level planning for women at crisis, home-based life-saving skills with the College of Nurse Midwives, and also life-saving skills with the clinic nurses. As Dr. Bergren said yesterday, one of the things we do is learning by demonstration. We have hundreds of songs, skits, acts, and theater to teach, and this is one example, and that is the home-based life-saving skills. What it does is it gives people practical things to do in the home to stabilize women as the ambulance is coming or as they're carrying the woman with the midwife and her family to the next level of care. We have a suitcase, as you'll see in the lower picture, that we've given all the health agents so they have their, you know, their educational accoutrement there with them, and they do this monthly. And we've trained many leaders. During this program in COMBIT, we have increased the danger sign recognition. Again, we're having songs and skits and cards that were developed by the College of Nurse Midwives. We've increased skilled birth attendance. We're happy to say it's 21%, which is terribly low compared to what Dr. Wang was saying. And I have increased dramatically the postpartum visits by village health workers within 3 days. And now it's within 3 days and then again before the seventh day. Communities have come together to have written evacuation plans. Who gets the money? Who gets the stretcher? Who calls the ambulance? Who takes care of the kids? And these are extremely popular groups, and there are 72 of them in the villages. When we first came to this area, the ambulance was this chair. And because of the partnership with USAID, we're able to get a vehicle that's only used for women in crisis, and a nurse will go out on the call of a dispensary or a health agent. The same woman who did Walk to Beautiful, Mary Olive Smith, about fistula in Ethiopia, also came to Haiti. She was there during the earthquake, and she did a piece on PBS called Saving Haiti's Mothers. And if you have a chance to go on the PBS Now series, you can see it. It is a fabulous portrayal of the difficulties the Haitian women face and the structural difficulties in Haiti. Just last year, the ambulance evacuated 267 women in crisis, or I prefer to say families in crisis. And you can see what we had here. We were happy that the village health workers were able to call, but also that since the end of the COMBIT program, we still have a strong link with the government nurses who also work together with us in these services. What happens is the traditional birth attendant calls the health agent who either brings them to the dispensary, but it's often closed. You know, it's open, you know, 10 to 2, and anyway, then we call, or they call the ambulance and they go bring them directly to the hospital. Most of our reasons for ambulance runs are, you know, prolonged labor and hemorrhage. We have lost women, one specifically after the earthquake who came with no prenatal care, died of eclampsia. We still have lots to do to improve. That's really what happened in the hospital. We are thrilled that we have community-based mortality reviews. Mostly they're done in hospitals, but because women don't deliver in hospitals, it's important to identify a death in the village and then bring all together medical practitioners, organization of women, and others, including traditional birth attendants, to discuss what happened anonymously and what can we do structurally to improve the situation. So we use a government health death form. We use a modified reproductive age mortality survey, thanks to Dr. Frank Anderson from the University of Michigan, who is our advisor in this process. The nurse midwife looks at these two pieces of information, decides whether this death of a girl between 15 and 49 warrants a verbal autopsy. She goes to the home, checks the records, talks to the midwife, figures out what was going on at all levels, does a summary, and is discussed in this committee and then in the whole town with the press and the bishop and the pastors to really give women who've died a voice. We also try extremely hard to work around the Haitian belief that you stay in bed for the first 30 days postpartum and get them, and we're thrilled that women have now, after all these years, will allow a health agent visit and also get out within 3 to 5 or 10 days to see a nurse for a postpartum check. So we've seen that with a lot of effort, the health agents have been able to go and see a woman within 2 days, about, you know, a little over 50%, which is pretty good. And in summary, we believe very strongly in the continuum of care. We can't just work at the hospital or the clinics, but really the community to the hospital and back. It's extremely challenging in Haiti with all its needs. We were happy that these things have now been integrated into our care, even after the grant has ended, because we believe we shouldn't start something we can't continue. And but the hospital has only one obstetrician for 400,000 people. And that's a great concern to all of us. We hope to help the nursing school move to a nurse midwifery school to deal with all of that. Thank you very much.